I might be able to get away with 49. I don't know. It's like one of those things you don't want to try out, like Shlomo HaMelech, you know, when he
just learn one arm and stab one back, so it will be, you know, double the.
Do you like some?
No,
very good.
Reliable.
You see, in the day, that's all I eat. I don't eat.
Okay, so the Gemara starts out fairly plainly. I'm a Rav Yochanan Harotze Shikabel. Actually, I'm a Rav Yochanan Harotze Shikabel Alav Ol Malchut Shemayim. Somebody really wants to accept upon himself the burden of heaven, the yoke of heaven, the need to serve God. Shlema, in a full way. Yifana, he goes to the bathroom first. Yitol Yadav, and he washes his hands. V'yaniach tefillin, he puts on tefillin. V'yikra kriyat shema, and then he reads kriyat shema. V'yitpalel, and then he says Shemona Esrei. V'zuhi malchut shamayim shlema. That's how you, that's taking God in all the way. Now, if we were doing an Eiyun Shir, there's all kind of interesting things. What about Pesukei Dezimra? So the bracha we assume is going on. What about Pesukei Dezimra? So there's a real question about when Pesukei Dezimra really started, when it got its format. Some Gemara certainly seem to imply that Pesukei Dezimra was not required, may have not even been around in the same format. This is Rabbi Yochanan, so we're talking about a Tana here. This is much older than Gemara. So the question is, where exactly does Pesukei Dezimra come from? But that's outside the scope of a Daf Yomi Shir. But it's certainly something to note. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Kol Hanifne. Anybody who goes to the bathroom, the notel yadav, the tefillin, the kari kriyatma, the palel. So anybody who does these steps of going to the bathroom, washing your hands, putting on tefillin, then saying shema, then davi shema esrei, ma levakatuv kilu bana mizbeach v'hikriv alav korban. It says if you built an altar and you gave a sacrifice on it, tichtiv erchatz penikayon kapi, I will wash in cleanliness. I will wash my hands in cleanliness. I will go around your altar. Literally, this is probably talking about a case where you go in, you wash your hands before entering the Ezra Azara, which is outside where even the Israelim could go, and then you're able to walk around the altar, much like we do on Sukkot symbolically. Somebody Rabba lo savale mark yilu taval, so. Rava said to him. So this is the very first generation. So there's not a Tana. It's not Mora. Samele Rava lo savale mark ilu taval. From this pasuk, you should be able to tell that not only did you wash your hands, but you actually did a full tefillah. That is, if you just wash your hands, it's as if you did a full tefillah. Dechtiv erchatz bini kayon velo kativ architz. Yeah, it's a little bit. It should be erchatz b'nikayon kapi v'lo kativ architz b'nikayon kapi. That's probably how this should read. So what he's saying is he's being medayik on the fact that it's kal and not hifil. He's saying that essentially erchatz architz means I will cause it to be washed, so it has a direct object. What they're saying here is erchatz, because it has no direct object, it's reflexive, meaning it's referring to me. So when I wash my hands, it's like I myself am being completely washed. I'm not sure if it holds up grammatically. It's possible. The truth is, in modern Hebrew, if you want to say I washed myself, you don't say erchatz. You say lehit ani hitrachatzti. Use a hit pa'el format, which is certainly reflexive. But it could be that the erchatz in the kal is also reflexive, and therefore, when it's saying that I washed my hands, it's not just that I washed my hands; it's that I washed myself completely. So essentially, the pasuk, because it says erchatz and not architz, means I have become completely washed with the cleanliness of my hands. That's how you would read that pasuk if you go up two lines. It is, I become washed, as in mitubal, with the when I simply wash my hands. Okay, so it's like you actually went to the mikvah. Amalei Ravina l'Rabba Chazimar Hai Tzur b'Mirabanan. So Ravina says to Rava, take a look at this Tzur b'Mirabanan De'ata Mimar Rava. Tzur b'Mirabanan is like a Talmud Chacham. It's like a Talmud Chacham on Talmud Chachams. That's what Tzur b'Drabbanan means. I think it means Tzur, but I think it means from the word sword, right? Because what do we have by Yoshua? It says they took the Tzurim vayimalu at Bnei Israel. So Tzur in that case means sharp edge something. So there's like a sharp guy from the Rabban. This guy was like a top Talmud Chacham from Israel. He came from Marava, the west Israel. Va'amar misha ein lo mayim lirchot yadav mekaneich yadav be'afar ubetzor ubekismet. So he says, listen, you don't have to go nuts. If you don't have water, so you can clean your hands with dirt or with rocks, tzor rocks, and kismet. I don't know what to tell you. Kismet must be some kind of chemical that, or some type of object that Rashi says kisame. But that doesn't help me out much more than kismet. I looked up the word and I couldn't immediately. What's that?
Chips of wood.
Chips of wood. Is that what it is? Okay, good, very nice. So essentially, you don't have to use water. You just have to get your hands clean in any way that you can. Ah, the question is, by the way, what about, you know, the famous negavasis? And negavasis, of course, is more of a Kabbalistic idea than it is a halachic idea. So when we wash our hands negavasis in the morning, I think there's two aspects. There's one, you got to get your hands clean from what might have happened in the night, but and also going to the bathroom in the morning. But there's also the Kabbalistic reason, and the Kabbalistic reason is not referenced here in this Gemara. So Gemara says, Amar le shapir ka'amar. He said beautifully. He's absolutely right that water is not necessary. Why? Because miktiv echatz b'mayim b'nikayon. It never says you have to wash my hands with water to make them clean. It just says, going back to the pasuk, it says echatz b'nikayon. All I have to do is to get them clean. So who said water had to be involved? So it's like a dry cleaning. So kol midi d'menake. It means anything that gets me clean. I don't need water. Had David HaMelech wanted to specify the halacha that it had to talk to be water, he would have said erchatz b'mayim b'nikayon kapi. The Gemara says tahad the Rebbe Chista layit. And by the way, this is very similar to what Reb Chista did. Because what did Reb Chista do? Layit aman d'mahadar amaya be'edin saluta. He actually cursed. Layit means he cursed the one who went back for water while they were davening. Saluta is davening. That is a sin around davening. And somebody said, why don't you guys wait a minute? I'm going to go, my hands are dirty. I got to wash my hands. So Rav Chista cursed him. I guess he got very angry. He lost his minion or something like that. He got very angry. Gave him a good curse. Vahani Mili. So everybody okay so far? So Hani, the Gemara.
I don't understand how using dirt cleans the hands.
I think maybe sand. That's what I'm thinking, maybe. Because, yeah, I don't think. I'm thinking like a. Not soil. I also, afar means dirt, but I'm picturing like, I'm picturing Eretz Israel, and I'm picturing Iraq. I think what you're really dealing with is like rubbing your hands off like a chalk or a sand until they get clean. Something abrasive, exactly right. That's my suspicion, but I also saw what you saw. Swore and kiss me make a little more sense, and that's what I learned. When I was a kid, I don't know if they taught you the same things for your kid, but it was always like, you know, if you touch your shoes and you want to learn, you have to go wash your hands, you just rub it off on wood. So this is the source for it. This is the source for it. I don't know if it's the source for it, but it's only a source for it. So the Gemara says, wait, hold on a second. We have to restrict that halacha about the fact that we're upset the guy that is washing his hands. Hani mili the kriyat shma. That only applies to kriyat shavala tfila mehadar. But it, so that applies to kriyat shma that you don't go looking for water. But by amida, then you go looking for water. And it's very interesting why Rashi says the kriyat shma. Be'idna de kriyat shema dizmana kavua. It's the Rashi is at the like the third of the wide lines at the top. Be'idna at the time de kriyat shema shizmana kavua, because essentially if you blow your time, if you go around looking for it, you can blow kriyat shema zman. Pen yavur zman avol tefilah kol yom zimna. But I could daven the whole day. Who did tzarich l'mahadar amaya? And therefore you could go searching for water, which of course is also a little bit of a shell shock from the way we go about things. Because of course today, you know, you go right into tefillah. It's not like I could say kriyat shema in the morning and then go to work and say tefillah only once a day. This is talking about obviously d'oraita and at a time when things weren't entirely established in that way. This is at the beginning of this is the very beginning stage of the establishment of how we're supposed to pray. And d'oraita, you only have to pray once a day. How far before tefillah can you go looking for water? So the Gemara says, ad parsa. You can go for parsa. Parsa is about 3 to 4 kilometers, I think. Maybe 4 to 5. It's about that.
2.4 to 3 miles.
And that comes out to about 4 to 5 kilometers. No?
Parsa is 4 mils.
Right. And a mil is about a kilometer. A mil is about a kilometer. I think that's it. Right, so it's 0.6 of a mile. That works pretty well. That's easy. That's not exact, but whenever I think of a mil, I immediately think, it's like one of those things that's the opposite. Whenever I think of a mile, I convert that to a kilometer, and I have a good sense of what it is. Bahani mili, wait a second, we got to restrict that. Hani nimi lekame aval lo orche afilu mil enu choser afilu mil enu choser. When you could go looking for a mile, that's only in front of you. Now, what that means is you're on the way towards that is to get to your goal. But to go backwards, because that takes you out of your ultimate goal and away from where you want to be, whether it's tefillah or work, or that is, you don't have to go nuts here. If you don't have to go all the way back to your house, if you have to turn back to find water and you have to go back more than a meal, that you don't have to do, then you can wash your hands off with the three dry objects, with dirt or stones or wood. Afilu mil enu choser umina. What do we learn out from this? Mil hu de enu choser hapachot mil choser. However, you should know that you do go back less than a meal. What that means is they were being specifically. You don't. If you want to go backwards, you only go up to a kilometer, a meal. But if it's going to be a half a kilometer, if it's just a half a kilometer, 500 meters, that'll take you to go back and find some water. You can wash your hands. That you have to do, or even 999. Then you have to go backwards and actually sort of go out of your way to find water to wash. It's pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward.
Is there anything special about the three items that they pick for you to wash your hands with other than water? I mean, how about what about fabric?
My guess is. I don't think we're talking about an issue of being Mekabel Tuma here. I think we're talking... You could make an argument that all of these three things are not kalim, they're not utensils, and therefore they're not Mekabel Tuma, and therefore they're specifically mentioned because they're not Mekabel Tuma, but I think we're talking just about cleanliness. I think they're just talking about three practical things that I might find in the wilderness, because if I wasn't in the wilderness, I'd have water. So by the fact that I don't have water, the question is, what's going to be available to me? But I think if you have available to you, I don't know, leaves... I guess if leaves work.
You have your shirt.
So the question is, what about a shirt?
I mean, you have your pants. I don't know. Rub your hands off against it.
If it was rock, if the Gemara just said rocks and woods, I would have thought maybe something very abrasive. But the question is, what about afar? Afar is not abrasive at all. It could be that you require some kind of abrasion. I don't know. It's possible that a shirt might be good. You want to say, I don't know. Good question. Nothing is brought down here lahalacha, to be honest. So I don't know what to. I'm sorry. It says it is brought down lahalacha. There is a little halacha marker. Bet. So it says ma'imanis. It's Rambam Perikul Malacha Kriyat Shema, and it's also the Torah Shulchan Aruch Chaim Siman Dalit. So if we had the time, and I think we don't really, I think it would be pay to look and see whether it's only those three things or whether those are just three examples. That's a terrific question. Remind me. I have it on. I'm recording now, but remind me, and I'll look it up and make sure what the answer is. Good question. Okay, up to the Mishnah. Kori Shema v'lo Shmi Lazno Yata Rav Yossi Omer Lo Yata. See, here's a question of audibility. If somebody reads the Shema and he didn't hear himself, then according to the Tana Kama, you are Yotze, which means Shema can be silent. Rav Yossi says wrong. Shema needs to be audible. Gemara has a new halacha. Then the Mishnah comes down with the second halacha. Kara v'lo dictate v'otio teha. If you read, but you weren't exacting in the words, Rav Yossi Omer Yatza, Rav Yehuda Omer Lo Yatza. In this case, Rav Yossi says that you are Yotze, Rav Yehuda says that you are not Yotze. Now, what that means is Rav Yossi would rather have you say it out loud and slurred than say it perfectly and quietly. Yeah? You see what I'm saying? Right. He wants you, he doesn't care whether you get every word right, he cares whether you can hear it. By the way, dictate votiotea, I can tell you the Gemara is going to say it, but I might as well give it away now. Dictate votiotea is what we do when we separate the words that have similar endings, like this, the debar, no, actually it's interesting, the Gemara never discusses that. The debar tabam does not have the same meaning, but because the first word ends off with a vowel, at least the Gemara here on this page doesn't discuss it. The Gemara brings down just cases where the ending letter is the same as the next letter, such as Al Levavecha, exactly right, or Al Levavechem, and there's some mem words. On the next page, there's some mem words, if I'm not mistaken. Vavadetem Mehira. Exactly right. The words that we put separations in front of other words. And I think there's going to be another Gemara that discusses that. But I think when this mission is talking about dictate votiotea, because the truth is, it's hard to really, if I say v'dibarta bam, I'm not definitely, I haven't lost any letters. What I've done is I've sort of tied two words together. But when I say vavadetem mehira, if I say vavadetem mehira, I've literally lost the letter. I've either said al levavecha or I've said al ivavecha. So you could see a case where you have when you have a matching last letter and first letter, where it's a much more serious issue than just the issue of whether you have an open vowel at the end of one word and a consonant or a vowel at the beginning of the next one. Whether the Gemara discusses the open vowel, I can't say. I can only tell you what goes on in this Gemara. This Gemara, the Gemara will only discuss the issue of matching letters at the end and at the beginning, like Alav Avecha, and the other one is nice. Knaf Petil. Knaf Petil. Although it's a little bit weird because Knaf is a soft F and Petil is theoretically a hard F. Anyway, let's continue. What's that? You wrote that? I always feel bad because I feel, you know, I'm like a Russian because it's I guess you have to, really. So is that the nature of the game? I'm not really, this is the first time I'm really teaching. I'm going to hit it at 9, so let's shoot for that. So the next halacha, there is no, oh, by the way, I'll give away something that's going to come, and the Gemara is going to be a little complicated. I can tell you right now that in the second argument, we have Machlokes and Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. In the first argument, it's Rav Yossi versus the Tana Kama. So it won't surprise you to find out that the Gemara is going to wind up thinking that it's Rav Yehuda, and the fact that it's Rav Yehuda is going to be significant. Let's continue on. There's a third halacha of which there is no dispute whatsoever, which is Akori Lamafreya Lo Yatsa. Akori Lamafreya means out of order. Akori Lamafreya is out of order, or retroactively. The question is, what retroactively? Words, sentences, prakim. So here, the Rashi at the beginning of the parak solves the problem for us, because when it mentions Lamafreya and Machloket, Rashi says something funny. He says, what are you not allowed to read? You're not allowed to read the following things. Sha'arecha Beitecha Mezuzot. So the impression from Rashi there is that Korel Mafreya means the words themselves not out of order. Now the question is, why would I assume that I could read the words out of order? That's what the assumption is. I just, whatever, by you Hadvarim Eila. But the Hadvarim is like a jumble. I could mix them up any way I want, you know. As long as, right, that is the focus on the words rather than the ideas. So therefore I'll throw the words any way I want. It's like a jigsaw. What? Yeah, like a magic formula. So that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to read them backwards. Again, why somebody would, I'm a little confused about why somebody would. The only thing I can imagine is sometimes, maybe I can imagine it would make sense. Yeah, maybe. I'm more of a grammarian than a Kabbalist. In Hebrew, as opposed to English, the verb always comes before the subject. I don't say ha'ish halach. I always say halach ha'ish. So maybe if you're translating it, so people are uncomfortable with that. In modern Hebrew, of course, say ha'ish halach. So maybe the idea is that I somehow put the words together so that they, even though they're in Hebrew, they match up with my modern sense of grammar than an ancient sense of grammar. But otherwise, I can't imagine somebody actually like reading, unless he's like a very, you know, strange person or very Kabbalistic, reading the words backwards. But that's what Oti said. The next one is Kara Vita Yaxor Lamakom Sheta. Everybody agrees if you made a mistake, you go back to where you made a mistake. And the question is, where is that exactly? And that the Gemara is not going to deal with on our page, whether that's to the same place, the same pasuk, the same chapter. So we'll just leave that as an open question for now. Rashi, if I'm not mistaken, does not deal with it. Does not deal with it. All Rashi does deal with, by the way, he says, "Lo dictek b'otiyotel lefarshan yafeb svatab," to get the letters coming out correctly. But he doesn't really bring down the idea, which satisfies the idea of making sure that each letter can be distinguished. Gemara, my taima. Now this Gemara, I have to say, is a little bit back and forth. So, my taima. Let me just get my place. Yeah. My time to Rabbi Yossi, Mishum Dechtiv Shma, Hashma La'azacha, Mashta Motzi Mi Picha, which means the word Shma doesn't mean to understand, it means to cause to be heard, or to listen, to be able to be heard. Which, by the way, I know you learned the Gemara, let's see, 2 days ago, so that would be the opinion of Rebbe. That was Rebbe's opinion. So the Gemara, right? There was a machlok between Rebbe and Chacham. So the Tanakama Savar Shma B'chol Lashon Shatah Shomea. It's not about audibility, it's about comprehensibility, comprehension, and therefore audibility is not required at all. But Rabbi Yossi Tarti Shma. So this is how you know, in my opinion, that Rabbi Yossi actually is not like Rebbe. Because Rebbe only learns out Shma, meaning audibility. He never says it means to understand. Rabbi Yossi apparently has to have both, which means my feeling is Rabbi Yossi would agree with Chacham that you can read it in English or Greek or some other language if you wanted to. Gemara continues on and says, Tnan Hatam. Now the question is, we have another brayta, and it says like this, Chereish Hamadaber, Ve'eno Shomea, Lo Yitrom, Ve'im Taram Trumato Truma. So what we're saying is, a person who is deaf, and he speaks, and this is trying to exclude it from somebody who is deaf and dumb. So somebody who could pronounce a bracha correctly, or words correctly, Venusha, he can't hear, lo yitrom, he shouldn't do truma. Why? Because you have to do a bracha by truma. And therefore, you really shouldn't do truma. However, b'diavad im tareim, if you did it, truma to truma, the bracha doesn't keep you from getting the action done. So essentially, we have an unknown Tana here, who who doesn't want you to be makfish truma because you can't hear yourself doing it, but if you did, it's perfectly okay. Now the question is, who does that match up with in our Mishnah? Because in our Mishnah, we said we have two opinions. One who requires audibility, one requires you to hear, and one requires that one doesn't care whether you hear or not. So the Gemara says, man tana, chayr samadam ben shomer di eved in l'chatchila lo. What that means is, the eved you can't do it, but I'm sorry, the eved you can do it, l'chatchila lo. So Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda says, I know who it is, Rabbi Yossi. That's Rabbi Yossi from our Mishnah. How do I know that? Now, Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah was very clear. You can't do it at all. And that's b'di'evan l'chachila. The assumption is b'di'evan l'chachila. If the Gemara simply says, you know, lo yatsa, that tells you that afilu b'di'evan lo yatsa, right? Because otherwise, he could have said, you shouldn't do it, but if you did it, you're still yotze. Lo yatsa means no, neither way. Ah, but what about this truma deal? This truma deal, you're not supposed to do it, but if you didn't, and if you did it anyway, you can't hear it, you're still Yossi. It's actually be Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, don't sweat it out. Rabbi Yossi, ditznana, kori yitzma, below yishmi ala osno, yatsa, divri Rabbi Yehuda. Now, that's interesting. So we put in divri Rabbi Yehuda. Here's the missing Tanakama. So let's leave it alone for right now. According to the Bach, you take it out, but let's leave it alone. Rabbi Yossi omer lo yatsa, and ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yossi lo yatsa. But when it comes to Kriyat Shema, then you're not Yotze Elagavi Kriyat Shema Dioraita, because that's a Din Dioraita, so you have to hear it. Aval Truma Mishum Bracha Hu. The Truma's still good. If I take Truma and I can't say a Bracha, it's still Truma. The Bracha's only Drabanan. Ubracha Drabanan. The Bracha itself is a Rabanan. Veloba Bracha, Talia Milton. Not only is the Bracha Drabanan, but Truma doesn't require, I mean, Truma does, we want a Bracha. But if you do give truma, you can't say a bracha. You're still given truma. That's the theory. Now, by the way, the Gemara's lashon is very difficult because it seems to be throwing two reasons at you. First of all, the bracha is rabbanan, and second of all, the bracha doesn't keep truma from taking place. So that's two things. So two separate ideas. But let's just assume that it's because the bracha is rabbanan, and therefore, because it's rabbanan, it doesn't mess up the truma. So by our Mishnah, which means Rabbi Yossi can be the author of the Truma thing, because in the case of Rabbanan, in the case of Bracha, where it's not that, it's not Ma'akev, it doesn't stop the action from taking place, then the Chachila, I shouldn't do it because I'm deaf, but the Avad, if I did it, I'm okay. But by Shema, the action is the Bracha. That is, you're actually a Bracha, the same thing, and not only that, the Dioraita. I threw in that first part to make it match. All the Gemara says is that it's Dioraita versus Rabbanan. I'm throwing in that the action is the bracha because of that second part of the Mishnah that says bracha lo talia milta. You see where I'm struggling a little bit with it because the Gemara doesn't match up perfectly. But in any event, it could still be Rabbi Yossi because it's only Rabbanan. Now the question that you may have in your mind, by the way, is then why not go with the, why struggle to say it's Rabbi Yossi? Why not to say it's the Tanakama or Rabbi Yehuda? So the assumption must be that Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah by Kriyat Shema that afilu b'diavad it's okay. You see what I'm saying? Otherwise, it would have been easier to match up Rabbi Yehuda than Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says Kriyat Shema is never good, not Chachilu, not the Eved. It would have been easier to match up the other guy who says that you're Yotze, because if I say you're Yotze, it sounds like, right, maybe I can say he only means the Eved. I have a chance of saying Chachilu, no, but the Eved, yes, that matches up to the Truma. Apparently, we didn't want to go there. You have to assume that the Gemara is assuming that the Tanakama or Rabbi Yehuda, whoever it is, assumes that the Chachila and the Eved are both okay. Even the Chachila, you can say Shema if you're not going to be able to hear it. And if you're deaf, by the way. If you're deaf. All right, so the Gemara says, Umimai de Rabbi Yossi hi, dim Rabbi Yehuda hi. Va'amar gabi kriyat shema nami b'di Eved Chachila lo. He says, why would you make that assumption? Why are you fighting to get Rabbi Yossi to be the author of Truma, and you have to work over, even though Rabbi Yossi says Kriyat Shema, you can never do Nachalil of the Eved. Oh, but that's okay, it's a difference, deal right to draw on him. Relax, you got another guy here. You got the Tanakama, and this is why I'm not sure you should delete the words Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, they're assuming that this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says by our Mishnah, he says that Shmiel Ato Yatza, but that, I could easily say that the Eved, he says that. But the Chachila, he would agree with Rabbi Yossi that you really shouldn't do it, really you should say it out loud. So the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. How do I prove it to you? Teida de katani akore, but the Eben Chachil lo. What's the proof? Because it doesn't say lo yikrat shema or krat shema. It says akore. Akore means one who has read the shema. The lo hishmia la oz no yatsa. That used to be up at the Eben. That means after I've already gone and done it. If it meant l'chachila, it probably would have turned the lashon in the Mishnah, would have been something like this. Kriyat Shema lo tzarich, or something like that. It would have said out, I don't have to hear it. This is not Kori at the Mishnah, one who has already, alright, I'm sticking the word already here, by the way. Hakori is a participle. It doesn't really have a tense, really. It means an ongoing process. So it's not in the bag, but Hakori does seem to imply that it was a done deed, the bi'avad rather than chachila, which means the lashon of the Mishnah itself seems to imply the Tanna Kamma says l'chachila you shouldn't do it, only bi'avad you are yotze. So the Gemara says Amri haide katani akore lo diach hakocho de Rebbe Yossi, which means no, you're right, hakore does mean bi'avad, but it's not, doesn't mean b'diavad, which means Rabbi Yehuda or the Tanna Kamma means only b'diavad it's okay, but chachila it is not okay. Really, the chachila and b'diavad, it's both okay. So why does it say hakore, which is b'diavad, to tell you the power of Rabbi Yossi? Because I might have thought if the Mishnah said one should make the Shema audible according to Rabbi Yossi, then Rabbi Yossi would have been only the chachila. You have to make it audible, but b'diavad, no. But by saying akori at shema, you're not yotze. That tells you the power of Rav Yossi. That not only in the case of chachila you're not yotze, but even in the case of the avad you're not yotze. Which means we thought the fact that you used the avad is to explain Rabbi Yehuda / the Tanna Kamma. We're saying no. The reason why we used the avad was not to make a difference between the Tanna Kamma / Rabbi Yehuda. Really, he says chachilim diavad it's both okay. And by the way, Rabbi Yossi says l'chachilim d'yevet, it's both not okay. There's no middle ground. Then why did I use the middle ground language of akore to tell you the koach of Rabbi Yossi that even though it's b'diavad, Rabbi Yossi would still say tough luck do over. Do you see? That's what it means by koach of Rabbi Yossi. So the verse says Amri davah katani akore lo diach koach of Rabbi Yossi. The Amar b'diavad nami lo. The Rabbi Yehuda, because the truth is, Rabbi Yehuda filu chachila nami yotzi. Don't assume that this b'diavad lashon is telling you that Rabbi Yehuda says l'chachila he wouldn't want you to do it only b'diavad. I feel l'chachila yotzi. The only reason I use b'diavad language to tell you that Rabbi Yossi will burn you even b'diavad. You follow? Which means that I don't have any more. Now I'm in trouble. Why am I in trouble? Think about the truma. By Truma, we had a guy that said, l'chachila, you're not supposed to do it, but the Eved, you're okay. I'm just reading this Mishnah now. Rabbi Yossi says, completely not okay. Whether it's l'chachila or the Eved, the light switches are always off. Imagine I have two light switches. One light switch for the Eved, and one light switch for the l'chachila. By Truma, my the Eved switch is on. It's okay. And my l'chachila switch is off. You follow? We tried to figure out that maybe Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah by Kriyat Shema also has the light switches, one on, one off. We said, no. The reason why we say Akore was to tell you that the power of Rabbi Yossi, his light switches, B'diavad and Chachila, are off. Rabbi Yehuda, / Tanna Kamma, are always on, which means who matches the Mishnah in Truma? Nobody, because the Mishnah in Truma is one on and one off. So I'm stuck. I can't say it's Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda always has it on. He's not going to be more machmir by Truma than he is by Kriyat Shema, which means leaves me with having to say that it's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has both light switches off by Kriyat Shema. He turns on a light switch by Truma, because it's only a Drabbanan. Therefore, B'diavad, you're okay. Do you follow? Is that logic okay? It gets weirder, by the way. So this is the Gemara that we're really in. The Gemara then says, wait, B'mayu Kimta, how have you established everything? let's take a breath and let's catch up. B'mayu Kimta, have you left everything off? It says, K'Rabbi Yossi. V'ela had the Tani, I got another problem. Guess what? If I only had those two Mishnahs, I could go to sleep happy. I got an R Mishnah, two light switches are off according to Rabbi Yossi, two light switches are on according to Rabbi Yehuda, but in the Truma, one light switch on, one light switch off, because that's Rabbi Yossi, but he's more Mekil. But now I got a problem, because I got another brayta who says like this: Lo yivarech adam brichat amazon b'libo, v'im birech yatsa. So I have a situation brichat amazon that you're not supposed to do it silently, but if you did it, it's okay. Which means one light switch on, one light switch off. The chachila is off, can't do it. But the eved, the light switch is on. So mani, lo Rabbi Yossi, lo Rabbi Yehuda. You can't play that rabbanan diaraita game anymore. V'achalta v'savat et Hashem lo kefa. That's a diaraita. That is this. The Shema is just as the Araita as Kriyat Shema. And you established our Mishnah as an either-or game. Either Rabbi Yossi and it's all off, Rabbi Yehuda it's all on. But now I got a situation which is exactly like the Shema, which is Bircha Hamazon. And what do I got? I got somebody there saying, light, one light switch on. Chachila okay, but the Aveda is okay, but Chachila is not okay. Samani, who is that? Lo Rabbi Yossi, but Lo Rabbi Yehuda. Am I going too fast or we're okay? We're okay? Why to eat Rabbi Yehuda? Because it's Rabbi Yehuda, Hamar Chachila Nami Yotze. He has both light switches on. It's a Filo Chachila. Yeah. Rabbi Yossi, do you have an Amelo? I got both light switches off, which means if you just had the Truma Gemara, I could play games with the Arayta Drabanan. But here I got one light switch lights on and off by the Arayta, and I have nobody to play that game. I only have two characters. Kriyat Shema, I got one guy on, one guy off. I got nobody who's half here and half there. You see the problem? It's actually a nice little piece of logic. By the way, they're assuming, of course, there's no third person. And they're also assuming that there's exact congruence between Kriyat Shema and Brichat Hamazon. That's the assumption that's being made.
And the
Rabbi Yehuda is the Tanakama. Exactly right. Right, right. Although the truth is you could have said some unnamed Tanakama if you want to. The logic would still play out. We're only going to need Rabbi Yehuda because we're going to find out Rabbi Yehuda now says something new. So anyway, so let's continue on. So Gemara says, Elamai Rabbi Yehuda v'dieved im chachila lo. So now we're backtracking. Now we have to revisit our Mishnah by Kriyat Shema. You remember how we said by our Mishnah Kriyat Shema, the reason why I said B'diavad was telling me the power of Rabbi Yossi, that if you B'diavad, two light switches are off. But Rabbi Yehuda would always say two light switches are on. So saying, obviously that sticks you, so what do you have to do? You have to say no. The reason why I said B'diavad by Kriyat Shema, I was telling you that B'diavad, Hakore, somebody read the Shema and said it out, said it silently, then Rabbi Yehuda would say okay. But he would never tell you to do that L'chatchila. And now, by the way, I can now apply Rabbi Yehuda to three cases. I could apply him to our Mishnah. I could apply him to Truma, because I have a B'diavad, yes, L'chachila, no. And B'chat Mazon, B'diavad, yes, Kriyat Shema, no. You see, it works nicely, actually. Get rid of Rabbi Yossi, and now I'm happy with Rabbi Yehuda. So that's where we go. Aha! But that's a problem. That doesn't work out. You know why that doesn't work out? We thought we were home safe. We got Rabbi Yehuda with one light switch on, one light switch off, and all three Mishnah. Doesn't work. Alahad de Tani Rabbi Yehuda, Berei de Rabbi Shimon, Ben Pazi, Chere Shamadaber, Veino Shomea, Toreim Lichat Chila. I got Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon, the son of Pazi, who says out and out that a Cheresh who can speak but can't talk, Toreim Lichat Chila. So I can't hear, but he can speak. He can be done with Chilim. The Gemara says, "Mani, who's that like? Look, Rabbi Yossi, I got nobody to play with. I got no whose side is this guy on? I only have two sides in my Mishnah, all on. Originally I tried to make the two sides of my Mishnah all on or all off, but that didn't work with Birchat Hamazon. Then I redid our Mishnah to say one on, one off, which seemed to work with those three Mishnahs. The only problem is that there's another opinion about Truma, which says Afilu Hachachila, you're allowed to do it. And that doesn't work with Rabbi Yossi. If that was true, that was a valid opinion, that should have showed up by Shema also. Do you follow what I'm saying? If there were three valid opinions, all off, one on, one off, and all on, which is what this Truma thing is, all on, then that opinion should have been mirrored in the Mishnah by Kriyat Shema. By the fact that it wasn't mirrored in the Kriyat Shema, there were only two opinions. And how could those two opinions survive now if the second opinion, which is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, is one on, one off? I got a situation where everything's on. You follow what I'm saying? Rabbi Yehuda can't agree with this second version of the Truma. So Mani, who is that? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Yossi. Why are you Rabbi Yehuda ha amar dievet in chachila lo? You said it was one light switch on, one light switch off. And that's not the case here. The Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi ha amar dievet nami lo. Rabbi Yossi is always a bad guy. He always says, I don't want to say it like that, it's not right, but he always says you're not allowed to do it. Which means our Mishnah has no third opinion. You fell down flat on your face again. There's no way to work. It's like a jinx. It's like a Rubik's Cube. I can't get all the colors to show up on the same. I got four different Mishnayot now, and I can't get all of them to work in the same spot. Elo la'ola Rabbi Yehuda v'afilu chachila nami. So now we're going to say Rabbi Yehuda, really, it's Rabbi Yehuda by Truma? He's the one who says light switches on and off. V'afilu chachila nami. And he says in our Mishnah, v'afilu chachila nami. And then the question is, what about the first Truma case where it was one light switch on? One light switch off. Gemara says, "Lo kasha, hadidei hadirabei." When he was speaking for himself in his own opinion, then it's completely okay. when he was cloning his Rebbe, then it wasn't okay. How do we know that? It's not Rebbe Yehuda Omer Mishum Rebbe Elezer Ben Azariah. When Rebbe Yehuda was talking in the name of his teacher, Akori et Shema Tzarek Shashmi Ala Ozno, Shneemar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now Rashi jumps on this right away. The word Tzarek, the implication here is L'chachila Tzarek, but for the Eved you're still okay. So now the Mishnahs work out perfectly. Let's just review our Mishnahs. Our Mishnah, we now have two Shema Mishnahs. We have this one Shema Mishnah, which Rabbi Yehuda calls the name Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of the teacher of Elazar ben Azariah. One light switch on, one light switch off, which means Tzarech, you have to say Shema audibly, but if you didn't do it, you don't say. We have our Mishnah in our Gemara with Shema, which is all on. Rabbi Yehuda is all on. We have the first Truma Mishnah, which says that you really shouldn't be Mafra's Truma, but if you do it, you're okay. Who is that like? That's like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his Rebbe. We have another Truma Mishnah that says that afilu chachila you could do it without any idea whatsoever. Who's that like? That's like Rabbi Yehuda without his Rebbe. And what about Brichat Mazon? Brichat Mazon was also one-on, one-off, so that must be Rabbi Yehuda with his Rebbe. You see, everything works out nicely. We've created a third opinion here, which is we have Rabbi Yehuda, who's always on, Rabbi Yossi is always off, and we have an intermediate opinion, which is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his Rebbe, which is one-on, one-off. And even though in one of the misses it only says Rabbi Yehuda, don't bother me, none, because he was speaking in the name of his Rebbe. Okay? Is that good? All right. So the Mishnah goes on and says, Amar Lei Rebbe Meir. I'm sorry. Now something very interesting. We have to go back to where we were in the Mishnah a little bit before. It says, it's not, just to backtrack, Rebbe Yehuda Omer Mishum Rebbe Elazar Ben Azariah, Hakori Yitzma Tzarek Shashmi Yosel Azno. Chachila, you have to hear it. Shneh Amar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And Rashi jumps in right there and he says, B'yavad Yoro Yotzei. Amar Lei Rebbe Meir. Now I'm still in the Mishnah. Sorry, in the Braita, Hari Hu Omer Asher Anochi Mitzavacha Yom Alivavecha. No good. What you say, you're totally wrong, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It says in the pasuk Asher Anochi Mitzavacha Yom Alivavecha. You have to put it on your hearts. Achar Kavanat Halev Hein Hein Hadvarim. When it says Shema, how do I know the word Shema doesn't mean audibility? Shema must mean comprehensibility. How do I know that? Because it says Natati Hashem Alavavecha. How can you put words on your heart that you can't even understand? So therefore, the word Shema must be audible, and therefore, no audibility is required whatsoever. Which means Rabbi Meir says it's not lechatchila. You're not allowed to do it, but the evidence okay. I feel lechatchila it's okay because Shema doesn't mean audibility whatsoever. It means comprehensibility. You can say it as silent as you want to. The important thing is not that you hear the words. The important thing is that you understand the words. And the Gemara then has a windfall. Hashtadab, Yitahacha, now that you mentioned this Rabbi Meir guy, I'm a happy camper. See, what we were missing in our Mishnah all along, in our Mishnah, we only had two opinions, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Sorry, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. But now in the second Mishnah, which deals with the same Kriyat Shema, we have a third opinion, Rabbi Meir. So now I can make Rabbi Meir by himself. I don't have to play a game where Rabbi Yehuda says sometimes by himself or sometimes for his rabbi. Now Rabbi Yehuda was what we thought he was. L'chachila, no, b'diavad, somebody who's Kari, in. Rabbi Meir, who happened, then the question is, why isn't Rabbi Meir speaking our Mishnah? That's a kasha you could ask. How come, if Rabbi Meir had something different to say than Rabbi Yehuda, then why isn't he talking by us? Why is he only talking this Braita? That's not a question I know how to answer, to be perfectly honest. But essentially, I have three opinions. Rabbi Yossi all off, Rabbi Meir all on, Rabbi Yehuda half on, half off, regardless of whether his Rebbe said, and he agrees with his Rebbe all the time. And then I can mix and match my Mishnayot anytime I want. One Truma is like Rabbi Meir. The other, actually, that's what he's going to say. Ukarebi, I'm sorry, Hashtadati Lahachi, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yehuda Kirabe. Now I don't have to come up with Rabbi Yehuda not paying attention to his rabbi, Svirale. Below Kasha, Ha Rabbi Meir, Vaha Rabbi Yehuda. In one case where it's all on, such as the Truma case where he says it's good, that's Rabbi Meir. In the case where it says Truma, you shouldn't do it, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And in the case of Brichat Mazon, that's Rabbi Yehuda and his teacher. And in the case of, that was all the cases. All right, let's continue on. Tznan Hatta, we're okay up to this point, so far so good? Oh my goodness gracious. 15 minutes. It's not getting any easier. Tznan Hatam, Kolak Shem, Likrotanam Gila, Chutz Mecher Shot Vekatan, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Vekatan. It says that anybody who's allowed to read the Megillah except for Chere Shot Vekatan, somebody who is deaf and dumb, somebody who is limited capability, and somebody who's not gotten to the age of Bar Mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Vekatan. By the way, this is where Isha comes in as Mutter, by the way. According to the Gemara, Isha is clearly mutter for Kriyat Shema, later in the Gaonic period they cut women out, but the Gemara seems pretty straightforward. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir be Katan. Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay with Katan. So Gemara says Mantana Cheres Dieved Nami Lo. So whose opinion is it that who's the first opinion in the Mishnah that says that a Cheres can never read the Megillah? Period. Which means Dieved Nami Lo, not Chachil not Dieved. Some Rav Matna Rabbi Yossi. I got Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the light off guy. The light switches off guy. That means that when this Mishnah said that a Cheresh, never says a Cheresh can read if he's not supposed to read, but if he reads the Megillah, it's okay. Says that you can't read, period. A cold shame and call the Megillah, chutz, the Cheresh on the Gotan. A Cheresh is out, so it must be Rabbi Yossi who has the light switches turned off for somebody who can't hear. So the verse says, it's not a Koriyat Shema Velosh Mil Asno, de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Mer, lo Yatsa. So the verse says, not so fast. Mimai, de Rabbi Yossi. The Divyeved Namilo. How do you know so fast Rabbi Yossi says that Divyeved is not okay? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda Hilachila Hudalo HaDivyeved Shapir Dami, which means you're interpreting our Mishnah, not our Mishnah. You're interpreting the Mishnah of Megillah in a case where you're assuming that when the Mishnah says a Kol Kshem Rechutz Mecheresh Ot V'Katan, you're telling me that a Cheresh can never do it. Even if he does, he's not Yotzi. How do I know that? Maybe the Mishnah by Megillah only means Lechatchila Cheresh shouldn't read the Megillah, but the Avad, if he read it. What do you care whether he heard it or not? You heard it. What's the big deal? Yeah, everybody, you follow the question? Why are we forcing Rabbi Yehuda? This could be Rabbi, Rabbi Meir. Don't forget, why are you forcing Rabbi Yossi, who says light's always off? Why not Rabbi Yehuda? He said light's off half, light's on half. Why can't our Mishnah also be saying that by a Cheresh, you shouldn't do it, but you can do it if it happens? So the Gemara says, wait, no. Lo sakadai the katani Cheresh dumi l'shot the katan. Yeah, but wait a minute, it bunched all these people together. You had Cheres Shot of the Katan, Shot of the Katan, Dieved, Namilo. I'm Cheres Namilo. I grouped all these three guys together. There's no way they can tell me that a Shota, who has a brain deficiency, that the Dieved, it's okay. Obviously, it's not okay. So if I'm grouping them all together and I know that a Katan, the Dieved, is not okay, because he's not a bar mitzvah. And if I know that a Shota is not okay because he doesn't have the IQ, then obviously a Cheres, the same rules. And if that's true, it must be a few Dieved Namilo, and therefore it has to be Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, wait, Vidilma Hatkita, Hatkita. Why am I grouping that together? Who says? Who made up that rule? Cheresh Ot V'Katan. Maybe they're separate. You follow what I'm saying? Why? Who says I have to grow? I have three people in the same swimming pool to the same person? They're different rules. One guy knows how to swim and the other guy doesn't. The other two guys don't know how to swim. Gemara says, wait, Umi Matziluk Mikrav Yehuda. Even if you wanted to group things separately, you couldn't establish a right Rabbi Yehuda. Why? V'hadam mikatani seifa. Look at the end of the Megillah Mishnah. It says Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. If Rabbi Yehuda is machshir b'katan, v'chal d'reisha lav Rabbi Yehuda hi. That is, I had a guy who said cheresh b'katan, shever kotan, and the other guys are not kosher from Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda argues on that position. If Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on a position, then obviously, unless he's schizophrenic, he can't be the Tanakhama in that Mishnah. You follow what I'm saying? And therefore, it's not Rabbi Yehuda. I have no choice but to go with who? With Rabbi Yossi and say, afilu chachil, afilu b'diev. It's not. It's also okay. It's okay? We're good? All right. So the Gemara says, wait, no. Dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda hi. Don't tell me that's because Rabbi Yehuda starts talking in the safe of the Megillah Mishnah. Maybe he's talking in the beginning. And now what do I do? I'm going to say that there are two types of katan. Trei gavne katan. The chisuri mechsara. And the Mishnah was miswritten based on the fact that it didn't state the fact clearly that there were two types of Mishnah. And this is the way the Mishnah should read. Hakol k'shem l'krot adam gilah, chutz b'cheres shote v'katan. Bameh dvarim amurim, this is the seifa. When did I say a katan is never okay? Shelo gila chinuch. When he's 5 years old, he hasn't reached chinuch. Abal katan she gila chinuch, afilu chachila kasher divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda machshir bekatan. So now we have a case where afilu chatchila, which means the first case could be b'deyeved. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, what that means is, first of all, I could keep them separate, but and now the truth is, now I have two winners. What am I saying here? The Rabbi Yehuda, when he's machshir in the seifa, he's not machshir a regular katan. He's machshir a katan is given to chinuch and afilu chatchila. What that means is the katan that I made up in the beginning of the Mishnah can be not even l'chachi, it can be the evidence, it's okay. You see what I'm saying? It may not be that the evidence is not okay. Which means now I have, it's not, we thought it was cheresh and katan against, I'm sorry, we thought it was a shoten katan versus cheresh, but now I have it the other way. Now I have shoten nefer, a katan that hasn't gotten to chinuch as b'diavad, And on his side, I got a cheresh who was b'diavad okay, even though he shouldn't do it. And when Rabbi Yehuda is talking in the sefer, he says, no, I'm telling you, katan's perfectly fine. That's why katan's giel lechinuch, and therefore it's perfectly okay. I feel lechachil. You follow? So not only do we solve two problems, not only do we allow Rabbi Yehuda to be both the reisha and the sefer, and it's not arguing, he's just specifying a different type of katan, but we even allow the groupings to be better. Now the power, the majority, is not against the cheresh, it's with the cheresh as lechachil yes and b'diavad no. So it's a nice little piece of Gemara. So Gemara says, wait, B'maya Krimta, let's take a breather here. You just told me Rabbi Yehuda. You told me the Megillah is about Rabbi Yehuda. V'diavad in l'chachila lo. And you're telling me that v'diavad, you're not supposed to read the Megillah if you're deaf, but v'diavad, I'm sorry, l'chachila you're not supposed to read, but v'diavad you're okay. Elahad the Tani Rabbi Yehuda, Bereid the Rav Shimon Bar Pazi, Cheresh Amadaber, Veino Shomei, Atorin l'chachila mani. But if you're telling me that he's a chayrit, now by the way, all this is going to be, this is very fast now, because all this is an exact repeat of the previous Gemara. It's as if the Gemara never even heard of the previous Gemara that we went to. What about the Mishnah by Truma that says Rabbi Yehuda is a lights on guy all the time? You're telling me here by chayrish that by a chayrish and a katan that hasn't gotten the chinuch age, it's one light switch on, one light switch off. So mani lo Rabbi Yehuda lo Rabbi Yossi, it doesn't work out according to Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda diavad in l'chachila lo, because in our Mishnah by Megillah you're telling me that it's l'chachila you can't do it, only the diavad's okay, and that's not true by the case of Truma where afi l'chachila it's okay according to this according to Ben Pazi. The Rabbi Yossi diavad namalo. So now I'm stuck. I don't have a guy to play with. So the Gemara is going to answer the same way it answered before. Elamai Rabbi Yehuda afi l'chachila nami. Megillah afil chachila. No, I apologize. We're not talking about Megillah anymore. We're talking about Kriyat Shema. Elamai Rabbi Yehuda afil chachila nami. I made a note for myself at the bottom, but it takes too much time for me to go look it up. I think it's talking about Kriyat Shema. Elamai Rabbi Yehuda afilu chachila nami. Elahad etani lo yivarech adam b'chad mazon b'libo v'im birech yatsa mani lo Rabbi Yehuda lo Rabbi Yossi. E Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar afilu. Yeah, this Elamai is, hold on, this Elamai is tricky because it's a question on a question. The B'mai Kimta is a question and the Elamai is also a question. Oh, I know what it's saying. It's saying you're striking out either way. If you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is the guy in our Mishnah, that doesn't work out because then I don't know if somebody agrees with the Truma. But if I'm saying that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and he's Afilu Chachila, that is, if I want to make the Truma work out right, that Afilu Chachila Nami, then I have to make the Kriyat Shema also work out that way, that according to Rabbi Yehuda says Afilu Chachila Nami. Which means, if we're saying that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah, i.e. the Shema, and our Gemara is l'chachil okay, it doesn't work out again with the b'chat amazon thing. So now I am stuck. So why don't I say Rabbi Yehuda is l'chachil? Oh, right, but I see. If I want to say that our Mishnah by Shema is Rabbi Yehuda says Afilu Chachila, both light switches are on, it doesn't work with the Bechata Manzon one. But if you're trying to tell me, and by the way, it doesn't work out by the Megillah one, because Megillah, one light switches on, one light switches off, by a Cheresh. But if you try to tell me that he has one light switch on, one light switch off, like Bechata Manzon and like this Kriyat Shema, then it doesn't work out by... Right. If you're saying our Mishnah is one light switch on, one light switch off, then that works out by Megillah. It works out by our Shema, and it works out by Chatan Zon, but it doesn't work out by the Truma. And if you want to say it's a light switch always on, then it doesn't work out by it works out perfectly by Truma, but it does, and you can fit it into our Mishnah, but it fails on Chatan Zon, and it fails on the Megillah. So again, I've added a new Mishnah here, which causes all the pieces not to come in together. The Gemara is going to answer the same thing it answered before. La olam Rabbi Yehuda, v'afilu chachila nami. Really, Rabbi Yehuda says so always okay. V'lo kasha, hadi dey, v'hadi Rabbi. There's two opinions in Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Korei et Shema, Tzar Shi Yishma, Lozno, Shema Yisrael. But that's l'chachila, but not b'yavad, which means that our Mishnah, he's always okay. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion by himself. This other Shema, where you're only Yotzei b'diavad, that's according to his teacher. according to the Truma, where you're Yotze, that's Rabbi Yehuda by himself. According to the Megillah by Cheres, that's according to his teacher, where Lechachil, you shouldn't do it, but B'diavad, you're okay. And according to Berachat Hazon, that's again Rabbi Yehuda, according to his teacher. The Gemara says, wait, Amar lo Rav Meir, Hari, Hu Omer, Asher, Nom, Kimitzel, Chai, Yom, Alavavacha, Achak, Kamen, Alev, Heinein, Advarim, Hashta, Ati, Lahachi, Afil, Tem, Rabbi Yehuda, Kirabei, Svirle, Lokasha, Had, Rabbi Yehuda, Har, Rabbi Meir. So essentially what we're doing again is we're having a third opinion, Rabbi Meir, who for some reason doesn't speak to our Mishnah. Now I got three nice opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says light switch on, light switch off, and that works by the Megillah, that works by Berachat Hazon. I got the light switch always on, that works by Rabbi Meir, and I got light switches always off, that's Rabbi Yossi. Okay? And that's a little complicated, but I'm afraid that we really won't even get close to finishing unless I don't continue, so I'm continuing on. Does everybody, I don't have it in my Gemara, so I only have it in my computer. I have it broke down on my computer, so I just want to get everybody to the sort of the same place. Where are we exactly in the Gemara? Where is it? How far is it down? Half the page. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, I'm going to continue on with my version. It'll be faster. Amarav Chesda, Amarav Shela. Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Shama Shumar Eliezer ben Azariah v'halacha Rabbi Yehuda. So, Rav Chesda said, I'll tell you who's right. Rabbi Yehuda is right in the name of his teacher, and Rabbi Yehuda is right. You can what that means is Hachila not okay by Shema, but that is really, you're supposed to say it out loud, but B'diavad, if you didn't say it out loud, it's not okay. The weird lush on the Gemara is going to jump on it. Why does it say it's like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his teacher and also like Rabbi Yehuda? But it's both. Okay, if you said one, it would have been enough. Where it says no, but Tzricha, you have to say both. The Iyashmin Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, if I only said Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his teacher, Havi Amina Filu Chachila, then I would have translated our mission as being two light switch on. There's no reason to assume that it's not. Kamash Malan, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Sha'amar, Mishum Rezab Ben Azariah, which means one light switch on, Lechachila, Abdiavad, one light switch off, which is Lechachila, not okay. The E Ashwin Halakh Rabbi Yehuda Shamar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Ben Azariah Havi Mei Tzarech Vein Lo Takana. When Rabbi Eliezer Ben Azariah, if I would have said only him, then when I said the word Tzarech, remember I said before that Tzarech, and Rashi said before, the word Tzarech automatically assumes. The whole previous one is based with Chachila no, B'yavad yes. This is now changing things around a little bit, and there's a comment on my Art Scroll Hebrew. It had a whole comment about how we're able to change the rules in the game in the middle, but we're not going to go into it. But right now we're assuming that since Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer Ben Azariah, says Tzarech to read the Shema out loud, Ein Lo Takana, which means Afilu B'yavad Tzarech. Ah, I thought the whole previous Gemara was based on the fact that Tzarech means to be Eved, yes, Chachila, no. We just changed the rules. Kamash Malan, Halacha to Rabbi Yehuda. I guess when you take things out of context, then it's possible to misunderstand the word Tzarech. Anyway, let's see. One, Rabbi Yossi, Machloke, Bekriyat Shema, Val B'Shar Mitzvot, Divrei HaKol Lo Yatza, Dechtiv Haskei to Shema Yisrael. So Rabbi Yosef says, listen, it's true that we have a Machloke, that according to Rabbi Yossi, you have to hear it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to hear it, or at least you don't have to hear it. B'diavad. But that only applies to Kriyat Shema. It doesn't apply to the rest of the Mitzvot that have to be said. That have to be done out loud. Why? Because it says everybody agrees that you're not Yotzei if you can't hear it. Dechtiv Haskeit Ushma Yisrael. Because Moshe is on the water and he says, "Be quiet, Haskeit Ushma Yisrael. I want you to hear." So obviously, if you didn't have to hear a mitzvah out loud, he wouldn't have told B'nai Yisrael to shut up. They could have gone on talking. So the Gemara says, "Meitevei lo yivarech adam b'richat hamazon b'libo v'im b'erech yatza." You just said that all other brachot, you said that only by Shema do we have the ability of saying things quietly. But by all other mitzvot, it's absolutely clear that it has to be said out loud. How is that possible? I have Birchat HaMazon with one light switch on and one light switch off, which means with the Avad, I could do it. And I thought you just said that everybody agrees. Obviously, everybody doesn't agree. Not only that, everybody agrees that it's not true. Everybody agrees, like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's okay with the Avad. The Gemara says, no, Eli'i itmar hachi itmar. You really need to learn like this. Rabbi Yosef never said that. Rabbi Yosef said the following. I'm Rabbi Yosef machloket b'kriyat Shema. Where do they argue by kriyat Shema d'chtiv Shema Yisrael? Because it says Shema Yisrael, and therefore I have to hear it and listen audibly. Aval b'shar mitzvot divrei kol yatzeh, by every other mitzvah, such as Truma and other mitzvot, I don't have to hear a word. I just have to do what I need to do. V'haktiv. It's not a proof, it's a counterproof. Ah, doesn't it say Haskei Shema Yisrael, which seems to imply that in order to be b'kayim the mitzvah, you have to hear it? The Gemara says, Ahu b'divrei Torah k'tiv. That's only when you're teaching Torah. When you're teaching Torah, if you don't hear what you're saying, so obviously it's not good. But in all other circumstances, it's good. What about Shema Yisrael? So that's in between. By Divrei Torah, that's where Moshe said, Haskeinu Shema Yisrael, I'm going to teach you a lesson today, Israel. So obviously you have to hear it. By all other mitzvot, I absolutely don't have to hear it, because that pasuk wouldn't apply to them. By Shema, I'm in quasi-land. It's a mitzvah, but it's also like Limud Torah, so maybe I do and maybe I don't. Okay? Let's continue on. Karev, is that okay, or should I continue on? Karev dictate. Karev lo dictate both to attend. And this is the next part of the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Tabi, Amar Rabbi Yosha, Allah Kedivrei Shneam Mahakel. This applies to both sections. What it means is we always go the Kula, which means when it came to audibility, we're making like Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to reading the words accurately, we're making like Rabbi Yossi, who says that it doesn't have to be exact. So essentially, you take Kulas in both cases. Vamarav Tavi Amar Rav Yosha. Now this Gemara is not connected. The only reason we're bringing down this Gemara is because it's the same guy, Tavi in the name of Rav Yosha. My dechtiv shalosh heina lotis be'ena sha'ol v'otzer rechem. And the pasuk goes on to say something else, by the way. What does it mean that these three things are never satisfied? One is hell or the grave, and another one is the womb. V'chi manyan sha'ol etzel rechem. Why would Mishlei? I think it's Mishlei. Why would Mishle make a comparison of death and birth, the exact opposite? So the two things which are immediately opposite of each other, no relation to each other. In fact, I want to say they're exact opposite. Just like the rechem, you put something in and something comes out. Right, everybody follow that? We're okay? This is the kind of thing where in high school I'd have to avoid vaguely what's going on. What? Each is never stated. But here I think, I'm not sure I agree with Rashi. I think something else is going on based on my knowledge of a Gemara in Sanhedrin. I want to say something from Sanhedrin here. I made a little note for myself. Afshaol machli samotzi, which means the things they have in common is that as much as you put in, comes out. I mean, I guess the truth is eventually a woman runs out of, eventually a woman will go into menopause. But theoretically, as many times as you have sex, you can wind up with a baby from it, as long as a woman is not already pregnant, assuming that she's ready. The Gemara then says something fascinating. I think it ties all the together. Halo Devarim Kavachomer. Not only that, Kavachomer. Ma Rechem Shemachnasim Bo B'Chashai, that you put in quietly, Motzi'im Mimeno B'Koli Kolo, comes out screaming and kicking. Talk about the baby. Mm-hmm. So you go in quietly, privately, but it comes out screaming and kicking. Sha'ol Shemachasim B'Koli Kolo, when you go down to the grave, you go into the grave kicking and screaming, don't let me die, don't let me die. So Eidu Din Shemotzi Mimeno B'Koli Kolo. So I think I understand what this Gemara means a little bit. This is like a Gemara in Sanhedrin. If you don't mind taking just a little bit of time, we should finish by about 9:15. It's possible, but then it doesn't match up exactly to the rechem, because the rechem is the baby himself which comes out crying.
Well, the baby cries.
The sperm goes in quietly.
Right.
The baby comes out.
Kicking and screaming. The person goes, but who comes out, well, the idea is, what this is really trying to teach, by the way, you know what the message here is, this is a Tchiyat HaMetim thing. This is what they're trying, is when a person goes in, he's going to come out, so you could also argue that people around him will be happy because he'll come back to life. But I want to say something a little different. There was a hunchback, actually, Gvia ben Psisa was a hunchback. He used to take on non-Jews, and actually, I don't know if we ever did Gemara Chelik like this. So somebody comes to him and he says, how can you say Tchiyat HaMetim? Some guy says, a non-Jew comes and says, how could you say, you Jew, you insult him, you Jew, how could you say that if a person was alive and he dies and he ceases to be, then how could you say Tchiyat HaMetim, somebody who ceases to be, he's going to come back to life? Gvia ben Psisa says, you non-Jew, he calls him a name. And he says, how could you say that somebody who was never alive before comes to life, i.e. a new person, all of us around here, we never existed before. And yet we have now created, we're now here. So Kal Vachomer, if we already existed, that is, we had a Kole Kola, we had a being who was each one of us, once that exists, so why should, if it already exists, it can't exist again? It's a beautiful Kal Vachomer, actually. If somebody never existed and he could come to exist, that's Yesh Me'ayin. So obviously, if I had Yesh, then certainly Yesh V'Yesh. So then the guy says, oh, how dare you call me that nasty name you call me. I'm going to break your back, I'm going to step on you. So Gvia ben Psisa says, you know, if that be, I'll pay a lot of money as a doctor, because if you could straighten my back, you'd be a truly great doctor, I'll pay a lot of money. He's a very good guy, this Gvia ben Psisa. But I think that's what's going on by Koli Kolot. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think what's going on is when the seed goes in, it's quiet. It's not a full life yet. It's It's not that you could even learn this Gemara differently. The sex is not necessarily a quiet thing. So I don't think it's talking about literally that people are yelling or shouting. I think what it's saying is the seed itself has no life yet. It's a whisper of what will be. And yet when it comes out, it's got this full force. It's a personality. It's a being that exists. So therefore, somebody who goes out to the grave and he had a life to him, he had a koli kolod, then certainly when he comes out, he has koli kolod. Now, I'm not sure. I don't think it's Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, but I'm basing my interpretation on based on what I know in Gemara Chelek, and I think actually it works out a little bit. I'm a little more comfortable with the interpretation. What's that? Rashi does say the mourners. So I'm going to, in this case, it's certainly possible, but I like tying it into that Gemara about Tchiyat HaMeitim and about the fact that you could build a life from a life. Usually you could build a life from a seed which has no inherent life in it, and I think it comes out nicely. So I respectfully choose a slightly different pairs than Rashi. Anyway, let's read on. Mikan Shuvah La'omrim. By the way, what made me think this, by the way, when I got to the next line of the Gemara? Mikan Shuvah La'omrim Tchiyat HaMeitim in HaTorah. So once I saw that, I immediately tied into the Gemara Chelek, and then I started thinking about that story of Kaviyah Memphis, and that's where I started to differ with Rashi. So the Gemara says, go on, let's go on. Tani Rabbi Yoshia Kami de Rava. V'chtavtem, it says, V'chtavtem, HaKol V'chtav Afilu Tzva'ot. What that means is because it says uchtavtem et advarim elu, that means not only the words but the command to write the words. You see what I'm saying? That a Shema has to include not only that you have to love God, but you must write down the words to love God. That is part of what I'm writing down is not just the command, but it's the command to do the command. Okay? So the Gemara says Amarlach Mani Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, who does this sound like? Where are you getting this from? So it says, it's like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we're looking for authors. How do I know this? Amar Gabi Sota. When it says Sota, Alud Katu Kote, you're supposed to write the curse on a piece of paper. Tzvaot Elo Kotev. You don't write the command that you're supposed to write the curse when you feed it to the woman. You're only supposed to write the actual curse. V'hatam hu dechtiv v'chata v'etalota elu. V'halcha dechtiv v'chtav tam afil tzvaot nami. By there it says v'chatav, a nice simple word. But here it says v'chtav tam. Therefore it means you're supposed to, it's like a fuller word, so it gives you the impression that you're supposed to write not only that, but you're supposed to write the command words as well. I don't think this works out grammatically. This is a drash, because k'tav tem simply means, and you plural should write, as opposed to v'chatav, and it shall be written. So maybe the fact that it's not passive, but it's active. A command means that the fact that it's active means not only the what you're supposed to do, but the fact that you're supposed to do it. So the Gemara says, Atu time to Rabbi Yehuda? You think that's why Rabbi Yehuda thought that you're not supposed to write the fact that you're supposed to write the curse, that you only write the curse when you give it to the woman? So Bishum Dechtiv V'chatav, because it says passively, and it shall be written? Time to Rabbi Yehuda Bishum Dechtiv Alot, because it says you're supposed to write specifically Alot. When it says Had Devarim Ha'ilu, it could be anything. But here, by Sota, it says explicitly Alot. Alot in, Tzvaot lo. So therefore, you restricted the word Alot. That's why he says, yes, the Alot, but not the command to write the curse. So the Gemara says, no, it's derich. It still works out with Rabbi Yehuda. Sakadaita nelech ktiva ktiva. If I would have only written the word katav in both places, I would have learned a gzeira shava. Mehatam, mahatam, by sota, since it says alot in tzvaot lo, I'm only supposed to write the mitzvah. I'm not supposed to write that I'm supposed to write the mitzvah. So af hachi, if I had written v'chatav et advarim elo, I would have assumed that I should have made a gzeira shava like was basota, which is hachanami tzvaot lo. So here too, I'm not supposed to write, and you are to write. Chata rachman uchtav tem, and therefore it broke the gzeira shava. The reason why I wrote uchtav tem was not to give me a more powerful v'katav. It was explicitly to break the gzeira shava. Why would it want to break the gzeira shava? Only if the laws are different. And since by sota I'm only supposed to write the curse, I'm not supposed to write that I'm supposed to write the curse, must be that by shema, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that I'm supposed to write not only the mitzvah, but the fact that I'm supposed to write the mitzvah. Okay? Whereas the Tani Rabbi Ovadia Kame de Rava Velimadatem, it says Velimadatem. This is a brand new Gemara that's actually referring to how to pronounce the words, that you're supposed to pronounce the words correctly. So limaritam really is halimudcha tam. Again, this is not a grammatical issue. Limaritam is future tense PL, which means and you will command them. It's a vav ha'ipuch. Limaritam means you taught them. Vilimaritam means you will teach them. So you really can't break off the tem from limudcha. Nonetheless, Chazal feel that there's a drash there. Shehei mulchatam, sheitain reach ben dvekim. What that means is you have to make sure that words that are stuck to each other, you put a separation to them. So Ani Rabbi Batrei, Rava answered right after, which means he gave him support. Kegon, he says, listen, they don't know what I'm talking about. What does it mean that the words have to, the sticky words have to be separated? So it means al levavecha, al levavachem, bechol levavachem, bechol levavachem, esev bisadcha, viavadetem mehera, hakanaf patil etchem mehera. I'm sorry, Etchem Me'aretz, thank you. Oh, I just read it wrong. Not Etchem Me'aretz, but Etchem Me'aretz. And by the way, you're a Balkori, you have to watch out for that stuff. Yeah, essentially what you have to do is open up your lips. That's what a good Balkori will do. After a mem word, you kind of force your lips open so that you don't slide right into another labial. There are three labials, by the way, bet, mem, and pei, which means if you have a mem at the end of a word and then you follow with a bet, you still run into these problems, actually. You should try it once. You really run, all those three words are labials, bilabials, which means your mouth is closed here. M, b, p, they call them bump words. And by the way, that's why we don't say, when you have m, b, p, you don't say v, it's always u. A v always changes to u in front of m, b, p, because you can't get your mouth closed again after the v. So we say uf tartem. We never say v, fit tartem. Mm-hmm. It's too difficult to say. It's not vim mehera, it's un mehera. Anyway, let's continue on. I'm sorry for holding us back. I'm Rav Chama Berebi Chanina, Kol HaKori Kriyat Shema B'dakbi Chodzah. If you do, in fact, watch every single word to separate the words, not lose any letters, Mitzanin Lo Gehenim. They take Gehenim and they cool it down for you. By the way, they don't say you're not going to Gehenim. Yeah. No promises like that. What's that? Yeah, turn it down a little. Get down to 350. Shenemar Bifares Shaddai Malachim Bat Hashleg B'Tzalmon. So what it says, when God shall spread out the kings, which means he'll scatter the kings. Very difficult pasuk, by the way, in Tehillim. Very, very difficult pasuk. In it, it's not clear what in it is referring to, Tashleg, it will rain down a Seleg, B'Tzalmon. Now, the art scroll translates B'Tzalmon, I'm not very comfortable with it, but B'Tzalmon is a word for hell. However, this, B'Tzalmon is a grave, is hell. But here it says, Al Tikri B'Fares, Ela B'Fares, to pronounce correctly, Al Tikri B'Tzalmon, Ela B'Tzalmavet, which means the shadow of death. By the way, art scroll, very interesting.
In Eretz Yisrael.
What?
I was there.
What?
It says here.
Where is it here? Eretz Yisrael.
The city in Eretz Yisrael, Talmud, an army base there.
Oh, very nice.
For a week.
Oh, very nice. So here's the interesting thing. Talmavit, just on a kind of interesting note, we have the word Talmavit in our famous Tilim Chaf Gimel, Dam Kelech V'Gei Talmavit. Of course, the Christians say, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And what's funny is the art scroll takes care to not describe the shadow of death. It says the shadow that is overcast with darkness. You see what I'm saying? Now, whether that's correct or not, I can't say, but all I can say is that this Gemara clearly translates Talmavet as the shvalu of the shadow of death. We're talking about hell here. So even though our school translates away from that, I'm saying, and probably correctly so, by the way, because Talmavet actually is probably a form of Talmud, which means darkness. The truth is, our school is right, in a sense, grammatically, but the Gemara clearly understands Talmavet, at least this opinion of the Gemara clearly translates Talmavet as hell. We have in Bilaam's curse that ohalim are planted, and so are tents are planted, and so are ganot. Just like a river will take your tumah away, latara af ohalim malim et adam mikaf kovel kaf schod. So will tents take you out of hell, so to speak, take you out of your what you get nailed for, and will raise you up in out of Gehenna a little bit. Rashi comments, Ohalim is talking about Ohalim of Torah, places where you learn. And that's the Gemara. So two things help you out with hell. One is the second one is Torah, and the first one is being medaktek with all the letters in Kriyat Shema. I think it's still very funny that they're only making a minor promise, not a major promise, which is nice. So whenever we say, oh, Chazal just making that up, can't be, because if Chazal just wanted to make you up and make you feel better, they would have said, you'll never go to hell. That they're not willing to do. They want to call a spade, and they just want to say it helps a little.